Gaining good guidance. Many people today need to obtain good guidance just to navigate our complex and spiritually unsettled world. People need good financial guidance. There's an ad by a financial planning firm that is recently run in the Waterbury Republican-American, and it asserts that, I quote, "As the financial landscape continues to shift, many individuals and families are taking a closer look at who they trust to guide their future," end of quote. The need for good guidance exists among the rich and the famous. Leslie Groff, Jeffrey Epstein's longtime executive assistant, and testifying before Congress, repeatedly denied knowing about his sex trafficking operation, insisting she never witnessed abuse, never knowingly scheduled appointments for minors, and was unaware crimes were occurring. Mr. Epstein was, in hindsight, a master manipulator and a deceiver who separated his legitimate life from his secret life as an abuser, and made sure that as his secretary, those two worlds do not collide. The need for good guidance affects people in society as a whole. Connecticut's new artificial intelligence law is a sweeping effort to implement regulations over the continuously emerging technology, from consumer protections to workforce development. Increasingly, social media companies are taking advantage of kids, creating apps and algorithms that decrease their attention spans and drive them to become addicted, causing them to tune out each other and harmfully impact their mental health and well-being, Governor Ned Lamont said during a bill signing ceremony on June 2nd. The act also creates a Connecticut AI Academy for students, teachers, school officials, and more to learn about how to use the technology responsibly. This law creates real protections against the misuse of AI while preparing our workers, students, businesses, and public institutions for AI-enabled future, according to State Representative Hubert Delaney, who's a Democrat from Stanford. Good guidance is greatly needed in the political realm. The Democratic Socialists of America has increasingly positioned itself as sort of an unofficial branch within the Democratic Party, and its National Political Committee recently adopted a platform that commits DSA to scrapping the U.S. Senate, abolishing the carceral forces of the capitalist state, in other words, abolishing prisons, defunding the Department of War, amnesty for all immigrants, and replacing the President and Supreme Court with an executive and judiciary chosen by a subordinate to Congress. It's not an exaggeration to say the DSA has declared political warfare against the American Republic as it has existed for 250 years. And its goal is to institute a system of anarcho-tyranny. Remarkably, there's a large contingent of Americans who believe every major political event revolves around President Trump and the Republican Party, to the extent that they're even paying attention to DSA's slow but accelerating takeover of the Democratic Party. They're likely to hand-wave it away and engage in Trump-centric whataboutism. So we ask, in view of the great need for good guidance, how can we gain it today? How do we gain good guidance today? Well, God's wisdom, and the Hebrew word is chokmah, his fixed eternal moral order for success and blessing, applies to many issues of human concern, including the need for good guidance. So we view various proverbs that are translated from the Hebrew biblical text in the book of Proverbs that inform us about God's insight on gaining good guidance as follows. One thing about God that I thoroughly love, he has many attributes. One of his attributes is omniscience. That means he knows everything. He knows the future, he knows the past, he knows the present. He knows everything. In fact, the Bible says God has named all the stars in the universe. I don't know if you can imagine that. There are millions upon millions of stars just within our galaxy. There are millions upon millions of galaxies. And God knows every single star. He has a name for it. That blows my mind. I can't wrap my head around that. But God, that's what God does. He has that knowledge. So who better to tell us about guidance than God? Well, God has several things to say. First of all, sin and ignorance will cause a human being to be tragically misled. Proverbs 16:29 states, "A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him down a path that is not good." And even more dramatically, Proverbs 21:16 asserts, "A common man who strays from the path of understanding comes to rest in the company of the dead." So it's very important that we understand guidance, get the good guidance. And then on the other hand, righteousness and one's personal integrity help guide him aright. You'll notice I said help guide him, because we still have blind spots. But Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crooked dealing of those who act treacherously also devastates them." So one of the best things that we can do to get good guidance is to function within the realm of our integrity, doing that which we know is right, doing that which we know is true, that which we know is honest. That keeps us out of a lot of misguidance. And then Proverbs 11:5 says, "The righteousness of the blameless makes smooth and straight his pathway, but with his own wickedness, the wicked falls down full length." So righteousness and blamelessness is something that really helps make life smooth and straight as far as our paths are concerned. Now, if one recognizes that he needs good counsel and he acquires it, he's greatly helped in getting good guidance. This is where getting help works. Proverbs 11:14 says, "When there is no good, wise counsel, the people fall down full length. But with many counselors, there is deliverance." So we've heard the phrase, get a second opinion, get a third opinion. I've even had medical doctors tell me when I've gone to the doctor, he says, get a second opinion, get a third opinion. It's very good. Nurses will tell me that all the time. And then Proverbs 12:15, "The way of a fool seems right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." There again, teaching, teachability, listen. You may not accept all the advice, but at least listen to it. Take it in and weigh it. And then Proverbs 15:22, "Plans are frustrated or they're made ineffective for a lack of advice, but with many advisors they succeed." President Abraham Lincoln was known for this. President Abraham Lincoln would present a problem in front of his cabinet, and he would listen to all his cabinet members make their opinions. And when everybody had finished talking, he would say, "Okay, this is what we're going to do." Boom. And what he did many times, he was way ahead of his counselors around him, but he wanted to make sure that he covered all the bases. So he listened to what they said in case he had missed something, and then he would make his decision. And once he made his decision, it was firm. It was unchangeable at that point. And that's what we need to do. We need to listen at least to advice. And then Proverbs 15, verse 22, "Plans are frustrated or made ineffective for a lack of advice, but with many advisors they succeed." And then, "Make plans by seeking counsel. If you wage war, obtain advice." Proverbs 20, verse 18. Boy, that's important. And then Proverbs 24, verses 5 and 6 says, "A mighty male warrior of valor." The Hebrew word is gever, and it's a male warrior of valor, "who is wise has great might, and a man of knowledge increases his ability, because for waging war you need guidance, and for victory many advisors." You might be a very powerful man, you might be an excellent warrior, but you still need advice. Because if the enemy knows something that you don't know, you can be defeated even though you have a stronger force. However, every human being needs divine guidance due to blind spots to the facts that every human being faces. If we're honest with ourselves, we will admit that we don't know everything. We all have blind spots. Those blind spots sometimes are inherited. Sometimes those blind spots are there because of our background. We make assumptions that we shouldn't be making, whatnot. We all have blind spots, and it's very important to recognize that. Human beings, due to limited fallible insight, need help beyond human help for the right paths in life. Proverbs 14:12 states, "There's a way that seems right and or upright in the eyes of man, but in the end it leads to death." And Proverbs 16:25 adds, "There is a way that seems upright to a man, but afterwards it is the way of death." Accordingly, we humans must ultimately rely on the Lord for the absolutely correct guidance that we need. Proverbs 16:9 states, "In his heart a man plans his course, but Yahweh," or the word translated Lord, "but the Lord determines his steps." It's very interesting. God makes sure that our steps are guided properly. We might go in the right direction, we've got to watch our steps. And Proverbs 21:2 asserts, all the ways of a man are upright in his own eyes, but Yahweh, or the Lord, weighs the hearts. We don't know many times our own motives. We can't even judge our own motives. And we might have a motive that is skewed in the wrong way. We might think we're acting completely upright, but we may not be. And God is the one who has to make a judgment on our own motives. And so we need to follow the Lord. Now, God's guidance is adequately given for man in his written word as follows. The Apostle Paul predicted that men would go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. He mentioned that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. And boy, are we seeing that today. In today's world, there's a tremendous amount of deception that is going on. And people are actually themselves who are deceiving or practicing deceit themselves end up many times being deceived. Well, Paul added that for overcoming such deception, God has given adequate guidance for every believer's path in life through his written word. I'm just going to take a little bit of time here to look at this. I know I've taught this many times before, but it's such an important passage of scripture. We really need to go at it. All written scripture is divinely inspired, being profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 says, and Paul is writing to Timothy, he says, from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is literally God-breathed. And in other words, it has the capacity. It's so authoritative that every time you read scripture, it's as though God is speaking it right now. And that's the character and quality that it has, is God-breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, that's correcting, for correction, adjusting, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete or furnished, thoroughly finished unto all good works. So written scripture is divinely inspired. It's profitable. And written scripture thus equips a believer to be thoroughly equipped for every good work that he needs to perform in every realm of his entire life. And I want to break down verse 17 there. The expression perfect in the King James Version translates the Greek term artios. It means fitted or complete. And you can actually paraphrase that to be proficient. Scripture makes you as a believer proficient. If you're reading scripture and you know it, it actually makes you proficient. The verb rendered thoroughly furnished in the King James, or thoroughly equipped in the New International Version, translates the perfect passive participle exertismenos. It comes from the word exartizo, and it means to furnish or supply. But it's very important. You have a perfect passive. Perfect means that it equips you in a permanent sense. You're permanently equipped with it. And the scripture does it automatically. You're passive to this being equipped. It makes you equipped. That's the force of God's word. So scripture makes the believer proficient to do every good work he needs to do by permanently, that's perfect tense of exertismenos, making him equipped, that's a passive voice, to do every good work that he's called upon by God to perform. Now think of it. Every single deed that you need to do or I need to do in this life as believers, we have guidance in scripture for that deed as to how to do it, why to do it, when to do it, where to do it, actually, if we know scripture. And this is why getting to know the Bible is so incredibly important. I recommend people read the Bible every day. It's not how much you read it today, it's the fact that you read it. Because what it does, it gets into the mind. And then God can take that and he can apply that. You'd be amazed how many times if you start at a book like start in Proverbs or start in the Gospel of John, I don't care where. Start somewhere and on a regular basis read it. You'd be amazed at how many times God brings up events in your life that will fit that passage. And that passage will give a commentary on what you're supposed to do in your life. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to be involved in our lives. So where sin and ignorance lead to certain tragic misguidance, Where righteousness, personal integrity, and good multiple counselors often help give some good guidance, only by relying ultimately on the guidance of God's written scriptures can one achieve the certain good guidance that he needs in this earthly life. And I would highly recommend getting into the Bible. Now, the first item of guidance, of course, that we repeat every Sunday, but this is absolutely critical, is given number one in our application section. It says, may we trust in Christ who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. If you're attending our service this morning and as yet you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I need to encourage you to do that, to make that commitment. And here's why. The Bible tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will eventually, you're actually going to go to a place of torment at death. And then in eternity, you'll be cast into the lake of fire, eternally separate from God. And we don't want that to happen to anybody, especially someone who's attending our service. So if you haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and in view of the fact that eternity could be just a day away for anyone here, because we don't know what can happen, I would urge you to make that decision right now to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again from the dead, by faith in him, you will be given eternal life. And I'd recommend it right now. Then, based upon the fact that a person has made that commitment to Christ, may we rely on the Holy Spirit for the behavior control that we need to function in ways that equip us to gain the guidance that we need in this life. And what I want to do is apply this message just to the third issue that we mentioned in our, the fourth issue that we mentioned in our introduction, the issue of the Democratic Socialists of America, just to show you how valuable Scripture is. Two proverbs mentioned in our sermon guide us to discern moral shortcomings in the political platform of the Democratic Socialists of America that we mentioned in our introduction. Proverbs 16:29 states, a violent man entices his neighbor and leads him down a path that is not wholesome. The DSA's goals of abolishing the United States Senate and prisons, defunding the Department of War, giving amnesty to all immigrants, and replacing the President and Supreme Court in warring against 250 years of constitutional order, it's not peaceful. It's actually violent, and therefore it's wrong. Then Proverbs 11:5 claims, the righteousness of the blameless makes smooth and straight his path, but with his own wickedness the wicked falls full length. The DSA is warring against our Constitution's law and order that has worked well for us for 250 years and has given us a relatively smooth, straight path, only to replace it with a system of anarcho-tyranny, will inevitably destroy the country, exposing the public to hardened criminals and not defending the nation from invading armies with the Department of War would hurt everybody in the country, including people in the Democratic Socialists of America organization. We as a people need to hold to law and order. In fact, when a lot of these enemies take over a country, the first group of people that they go after to destroy are those who have been involved in groups like Democratic Socialists of America because they can't control them. So it's very, very foolish to go in that particular direction. I know I'm preaching to the choir on this one, all right? I know where people are coming from in the church. I'm just showing you the pragmatic way that Scripture gives us guidance. And if we pay attention to the Word of God, we have all the information that we need for this life. So may we trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life, and then may we rely on the Holy Spirit for behavior control to function with his good guidance, especially as we listen to the Word of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your Word, and I thank you for the guidance that you've provided us here this morning as to how to get that good guidance. You've given us everything that we need. It's right in your Word. And that Word has been around for a long, long time. The need that we have, Father, is to read it. just to read it on a constant basis, consistent basis, that we might saturate our minds and our hearts with the truth of the Word of God, that we might know how to make the right decision in issues that come up in our lives. I thank you, Father, for the way you have provided your information for us. And I would ask, Father, that if there is anyone in our midst this morning who as yet has not taken a hold of the eternal life that God has for that person by putting his faith in Jesus Christ, that whether they're listening by way of the MP3 or they're listening this morning in the service, that before the day's out, they would indeed make that decision to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might have eternal life, and that they might come with the rest of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ to be with you, Father, in heaven, surrounding the throne of God with love, with joy, and with peace, full of glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.